Okay, so Tani. There are three things you have to say every day. Baruch shelo asani guy, baruch shelo asani boor, baruch shelo asani isha. Now, if you have done the Bavli, you would know that in the Bavli in Menacha, shelo asani boor is suggested as a hava mina and rejected. Right, but in the Yerushalmi, it is accepted.
For a very different reason.
Correct. So, Baruch Shelo Asani Goy. So why do you say thank you for not making me a non-Jew? She'ein ha-goyim klum. The Yerushalmi is quite blunt, because they are nothing before God, because of the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, kol ha-goyim ka'ayin negdo, and the rest of the Pasuk is me'efes v'tohu nechshevu lo, which is, if anything, even harsher than the verse. Right? And, yes, yeah, so that could, but it means, but no, the way the Gemara here is clearly understanding is Rashi notes is that, well, they sinned. You know, God created the world, gave them a chance, and sorry. Now, wait, who is it? Who came to Tefillah last year? Yeah, so you remember how much time we spent on these brachot, right? And the halachic question of whether a ger who was made a goy and then chose to become a Jew. Could he say the bracha or not? And we went through all the million shitot on that. Right. On the one hand, there are those poskim who say you can't because they didn't make it. And the other people say, no, conversion is an asiya, is a rebirth, and right, all types of interesting, right, commentaries. Baruch shelo asani bur. Why? She'ein bur yorechek. Because a fool is not, cannot fear God, which is a Mishnah in Now, the question, now, why does the Gemara Menachot reject this? Because God doesn't make you an idiot. You choose to be an idiot. But that's basically what the Gemara says, is you don't want to be an idiot, so educate yourself. God didn't make you a boor. You can't say, thank God you make a boor. You can say to yourself, don't make yourself a boor. And that's why the Gemara rejects it. Presumably, the Yerushalmi is not bothered by this, either because they recognize that no matter how much effort you put in, certain people are given certain intellectual faculties and are unable to reach a certain level, or they see a blurring of the lines between God's contribution and man's contribution to how you develop. I'm not really sure, but it's clear that Yerushalmi rejects that the problem the Bavli has because it says it. Baruch shelo asani isha, she'ein aisha mitzuveh al ha-mitzvot, because women are not obligated in, as the Tosefta makes it clear, all the mitzvot. When again, that is right, when people say that's apologetics, that, oh, how could you say that the bracha is only on, right? We talked about this also last year, where some people think it's apologetics to say that it's just on the exemption from mitzvot zeishah v'magrama. No, like all the earliest sources we have say that the bracha is on thanking God for having, I mean, chayv mitzvot zeishah v'magrama. I just read, because Rabbi Sklar donated a book to Yeshiva by Rabbi Dr. Gordon, something Gordon, Martin Moshe Gordon, something like that, over there. And he has a whole different understanding of the bracha and mitzvot. And very interesting if you want to look at it. Okay. Amar Rabbi Acha. Ki mi asher yuchubar v'gomer. Afilu otam shepashtu yideihem bizvul. Even those people who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Yesh lahem bitachon. They have hope. If they do tshuva, God will allow them to come back. Likarban. Yev sharshik far pashtus em bizvul. But they can't come too close because, you know, they did destroy the Beit HaMikdash. Lirachgam. But I can't distance them completely. Yev sharshik reyasu tshuva. So, aleihenu omer v'yashnu shnat olam v'lo yakitsu. They won't. What does it mean their tshuva will help them, the people destroy the Beit HaMikdash? Well, they won't burn in hell forever, but they won't get Olam Haba, so they will sleep for eternity. They will sleep for eternity. Apparently, the people destroy the Beit HaMikdash, it's suggesting that they cannot. Yes, it is a radical thing. It also, I'm not really sure, right? If you think, according to the Rambam, there isn't really a hell, right? There's just cessation of existence. Well, this seems to be some sort of cessation of existence. Yeah. And so I don't know. Okay. Rabbeinu de Kesarin Amrei, K'tanei Goyim V'chayelotav Shel Nebuchadnezzar, Ein Chayin Ve'ein Nidonin Aleyen, Aleyen HaKadosh Omer, V'yashnu Shnat Olam V'gomer. So he says the young children who were in Nebuchadnezzar's army, they don't get punished because they were coerced. Right? They were drafted by force. Therefore, they will not live in Olam Haba, but they will not be punished. I mean, presumably even without some sort of tshuva, because they were only involved in the coercion, so their punishment is therefore mitigated. I don't know. It wasn't fully. I don't know. This is like the... Yeah, not necessarily. Right? And this comes, you know, I mean, look, in just war theory, right, there's all types of distinctions. But one of the most famous distinctions is those who have a hard and fast distinction between jus in bello and jus ad bellum, right, which is the ethics in war and the ethics leading up to war, where in classic, like, Catholic just war theory, which is adopted by Michael Walzer, soldiers, as long as they act honorably during war, are basically exempt from... any moral claims of whether the war was just. This has been criticized heavily by other philosophers like Jeff McMahon, most famously. But maybe it's something like that, right? Where at some level, you know, maybe they were bad during the war, but like they still can't be responsible for the entire war. I'm not really sure. Okay. Ha'over lifnei bat avodah zarah omer beit geim yisach Hashem. You say, the house of the arrogant God has destroyed. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Bun, B'Shem, Rabbi Levi, Ra'otam, Mizablin, La'avodazara. If you see them, now of course we play with you here, right? Clearly they're bringing a carbon. But as there is a mitzvah to insult Avodazara, instead of saying Mizabchim, to Avodazara say Mizablin, which means to fertilize, meaning they're, because they're imagining it as manure. Yeah, now the Bavli says that you say this not right when you see Bate Avodei Chovim B'Yishuvan, right, when you see the Bate Avodei Zara in peace. So it's on the house of the Avodei Zara, not necessarily the practice of bringing karban, but okay. Avodei Zara Omer Zovech Le'Elohim Yacharam. You should know, right, that there were all types of weird hugging that emerged of what people would say around Avodah Zarah. In Europe, there was a custom, and I had one friend who, for some bizarre reason, did this. But every time he would walk by a church, he would scream, Shaket Tishaketsenu, Itavev Tavenu, yes, and then he would spit three times, yes, and he would spit on the ground. It was some weird European minhag, which apparently Mo knows about. I do not suggest this minhag at all. I'm just saying. Okay. He's like, not just do I, he does it, apparently. Haroi. Okay. Now we're going to go to the halacha of Mishaneh HaBriot. Yay. I understand that it's going to come out not politically correct. There's nothing I can do about that, okay? But the point is, these were people that they didn't see often, and therefore they understood them to be changes in creation. So Haroi et HaKushi, if you see someone who is especially dark, ve'et ha-gichor, or red, ve'et ha-lavkan, or albino, ve'et ha-kipeach, or like very, very tall, and like unnaturally tall and thin, so that his body basically cannot be supported, ve'en ha-nanas, or a midget, someone who is extremely vertically challenged, omer baruch mishaneh et ha-briyot. You say, thank you, God, for changing creation.
Do you think people with darker skin as well?
Yes.
Can they say that to you?
So the reason is, right, the reason is because people didn't see this, and therefore to them it was, right, it's clearly an experience, this is an important point, it's clearly an experiential bracha. Like, it was weird for them. Yes, 100%. Now, according to some Rishonim, there's a very important machlok Rishonim. The Ritva, the Ra'ah, and others... and Shulchan Aruch quotes this, says, how many times do you make this bracha? Once per life. Because it's experiential, right? It's like the first time you see it, it's a shock. Shana Brit, that's it. Right? It's like it's on that experience. However, It's worth noting that not everybody paskins the way. So the Ramah, for example, does not paskin this way. And the Ramah says that it follows the normal rule of brachot, which is once every, no, not every time, every 30 days, right? These brachot that are on experience, it's on, right?
Wait, does that mean that you can only say it on one thing every 30 days?
No, no, on each, no, no, no. On any of these, every 30 days. I mean, I'll just read you Shulchan Aruch. Right, Shulchan Aruch says, Harod achiga v'dekdev v'dekzuma mukashchen v'abakanem v'shome nukod dakot, etc. Wait, no, I'm reading the wrong one. No, I'm reading the right one. Right, fine. V'eino v'varech el pam rishona sheshinui alav gadol mod. It's only the first time where the change is very great. The Ramah says, v'yesh omrim mishloshim yom l'shloshim yom every 30 days. One second. Mishnah Brua there just points out, L'maisa yesh l'horot divarech achar kloshim yom v'lo shem u'malchot. Right? He thinks that what you should do is say it every 30 days, but without shem u'malchot as a compromise position. Now, another one is v'et ha-katua v'et ha-tsuma v'et mukeshchen. The same thing is true of people who have their arms cut off or blind or with boils. Omer Baruch Dayan Ahmed, you say Baruch Dayan Ahmed because of their suffering, right? You have to respond in some way. No, no.
At least the Shulchan Aruch said Mukash Shchen is.
Yes.
So you would say both.
No, I'm sorry, I just skipped. Sorry. Yeah, no. You say it's Yeah, no. He says you're right. Chikerege, you're right. He says Mishane Habrit. As well. No, he says it depends. If they were born that way, you say Mishana Abriot. If it happens later, you say Dayan Hamet. Right, okay. Yeah, I just, the end of the line is Im Him Imam Mevarach Mishana Abriot, Im Nishtana Akrakach Mevarach Dayan Hamet. Okay. Matnita Shahayu, sorry, that's the next line here. Matnita Kishayu Shlemim Vinishtanu. This is when they were okay and then they, right, then they were damaged. Aval Imhaya. Cain Mimeimo, but if he was that way since birth, Omer Baruch Mishane et Abriya. Okay, Aroa Ilanot Tova Naim, Bnei Adam Naim, Omer Baruch Shekein Bara Briot Naot Baolamo. If you see beautiful trees or people, you say, thank you for creating beautiful things in the. Well, it's beautiful trees. It's beautiful. You want an objective? You want
whatever you think is beautiful. It's experiential, Josh.
You want me to give you an objective? How beautiful? A sheer of beauty? It's very hard. Now, again, you have the same machloket where it's, right, Shulchan Aruch again quotes the position that it's only once in your life, right? That only when you see it, it's once in your life. However, other people say that, again, it's every 30 days, which is, of course, parallel. However, you could, in theory, distinguish between them, right? Some of the posts can do distinguish, but at some level, it is a... Now, Chayadim says that the minhag nowadays is not to say it. Why? So, you want to...
Because we can't have nice things.
The Chayadim says the reason is nearly Masha Ena Nenoga Mavarach Ragazu V'Chena Mavarach Anal Kushi V'Nana Mavarach Anal Pan Rishon Shashinu Gadol Av V'Kvar Kadam V'Gan Avram Shalom Lo Birach B'Achil Rishon Hashu V'Ena Mavarach V'Nearly Do'adin B'Chol Abrachot The K'mo Da'atam Abrachot V'Al Simcha K'var Avra. He says, look, you're supposed to say it once in your life and it has to be the first time and you might have seen it already, right? And therefore you never say it. This is not the alternative is the other is that we're just not impressed by these things because we see amazing things all the time. Yeah, I don't actually love this position, I'll be honest, the Chayadim's position. I did say this once on when I went to the Sequoias. I said Shikachal Obama, but okay.
Can you say it on like plants that aren't trees also? Or, like, why is it just trees?
It's trees. Maisa be... Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Right, now the Bavli's version is Baruch Shekachal Obolamo. Right? Like, thank God for making this. That was the bracha I said, that if you open up your art scroll sitter, that's the one they'll have there. And that, so the sequoia, as I said it, because like I was like, look, the Rambam says it's only things that are particularly beautiful or whatever, but like the sequoias are the largest trees by girth in the world. You're not going to see bigger ones. I mean, you'll see taller ones. So I would say it's sequoias, I would say it at redwoods, and that's it, and we're done. Right? So if I go to redwood, I'll say it again, and then I'll be done. This is a famous story that appears in the Bavli as well. It's the great flirting bracha, except he happens to say it to a non-Jewish woman, which the Gemara will say. The problem is he saw a beautiful non-Jewish woman. He said, "Ah, shek bara bria no olamo." Rabbi Gamliel, lochin amar Rabbi Zeir b'shem Rabbi Yosi Baruch Hanina v'Rabbi Yabav b'shem Rabbi Chia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan v'lo tichanim lotin olam chayin. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to praise non-Jews. Now, if you want to understand this, the Bavli has the same thing in Avodah Zarah, but luckily for you, I don't have to go through this because I taught Avodah Zarah 5 years ago, and I can tell you, go look at it when we spent like a week on all those sugyot, because they're amazing. So the Gemara says, Ma'amar avasakta. Lo amrela shikach bara briot naot baolamo. He said he's not praising her; he's praising God for creating such a beautiful woman. What's your problem, right? Don't you understand what he's doing? And ava taktana or whatever is like something like ayin hara or whatever exactly it is, or some description of adam kasher, meaning what are you suspecting him? What do you think he's doing? He would have said it on a horse also. Okay. So the Gemara says that's fine, but you're allowed to look at horses. What, you think you're going to look at women? And that goes to, again, that's the context in the Gemara about Zara, where it says, isn't there an Isser Istaklut? Is Istaklut Daraita? Is it Darabanan? All those fasting. So again, this is a real thing. I remember when we did this circuit, people were like, that's real? I mean, istaklut, like the prohibition, look at women and stare at women. Again, in Pesach, we generally assume istaklut is stare and not look. And the answer is yes. The Gemara says no. It's a very specific case. Bavli says the same thing. Eladerach akmuta haita kagonayin pupastas viva shalobitovato. He was basically coming around a corner. Don't blame him. He ran out of the corner and whoa, right? Look who's there.
What?
Yeah.
What?
No, he came around the corner and, you know, what could he do? Right? What could he do? Right? It was like one of my friends who went then was called Yeshiva Petach Tikva. Now it's called Arot Shaul. And it's Tel Aviv now. But Rav Shurlo's Yeshiva. It's like he's a very prominent Rosh Yeshiva in Israel. They said he was visiting L.A. once. And he was staying at a hotel, and he gets into a hotel, and, you know, there's a woman in there, and he makes some small talk with the woman, because, you know, he's a very nice guy, if you ever met him. He's a very, very friendly guy, and he gets to the bottom, you know, to the lobby, and they open the door, and like 100 people with cameras, you know, the paparazzi are there, and like, Shiloh has no idea what's going on, so like, he just walks out, and then he turns around, and people's like, who is that? They're like, oh, it's Angelina Jolie, right? And like my friend is like, he's like, he will pay so much money for the person who has the picture of, you know, Angelina Jolie and Rav Shurlo, because it's like about as incongruous as, you know, Graham Gamliel and you know, that's the modern goal. I what do you want from my life? I went into an elevator in L.A. Well, I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, so Hara HaGever. Now this is amazing. So in the Bavli, we have a bracha when you see 600,000 Jews, and that is Chacham HaRazim. In the Yerushalmi, you say that, Baruch Chacham HaRazim, when you hear the rooster. Okay? Why? Because the rooster, by knowing the difference night and day, is so wise. Mishat batuchot chokhma vegomer. Da'amar Rabbi Levi Baravi Karn Limra Yuvla, in Arabia, they call the sheep a Yuvla. Why? Because its horn is a yovel. V'ayim shoch v'karan a yovel. B'Africa, korin l'nida galmuda. In Africa, they call a nida a galmuda because she's anish kula v'galmuda. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, b'romi tzvachin l'tarnagol sechvi. They call a rooster a sechvi. O mit natan l'sechvi v'ina. Now, obviously, in You know, the Bavli, if you say, no, didn't listen to Vina. Okay. Haroa Uchlasun, but also if you see a Kal Rav, so again, in the Bavli, it is clear that it has to be 600,000 Jews. And the Poskim actually seem to take that literally. In the Yerushalmi, it just says a lot of people. You say, Chacham Arazim, why? Shekein, Kishem She'ein Partzufan, Domin Zelazek, Kach Ein Da'atan, Domin Zelazek. Because what we're saying is that just like God has made them with different faces, he's made them with different opinions. So again, the Yerushalmi seems to Paskin that you don't need 600,000, that you only, but the Poskim in general Paskin that you do, right? The Rambam, for example, who sometimes is influenced by the Yerushalmi, and you would think maybe he would say, oh, it's not literal. He says, no. Haroa tuf resh elef adam ke'echad. If you see 600,000 people, now, if it's Akum, he says, you say, busha imchem ma'od cherpa yilod chem hine achrit goyim medaber siyavarava. Right, you say, you know, humiliation to your mother, dot, 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 dot. But you say Chacham Arazim for 600,000 Jews, like the Bavli, but he says only in Eretz Yisrael. Ben Zoma, when he would see in Yerushalayim, Omer Baruch Shabaruch Kol Eilu L'Shem Sheni. He would say a very interesting thing, which is, it's different bracha, which is, thank you, God, for creating all these people for me and for only me, to serve me. Kama yiga adam arishan. It's 20 minutes for some of the first amud. It's very long, I gotta tell. Kama yiga adam arishan achalaga chaprusa. He said, adam arishan had to work so hard for bread. Charash, zara, nikesh, ider, katsar, imer, dash, zara, birer, tachan, hirkid, lush, viki, tefaf. I mean, basically all of the shidur, the pot of the malacha. You know, plant and harvested and kneaded and blah, blah, blah. I wake up in the morning, I go buy a loaf of bread. Shkoyach! I didn't have to do it. Ra yama kibi. What? Ra kada kama yigil yagadamarishan achamata chaluglubosh. And for clothes, gevalt. Now, obviously, the question is, well, God gave him the first clothes, right? That's different. So, he maybe means later when he needed warmer clothes. That's what Yifei says. So, what did he have to do? Now, all the malach would have to do with clothes. He sheared it. Gazas v'libin v'nipit v'tava v'tava v'arag v'kibes v'tafar. V. I wake up in the morning, clothing. Thank you, God. Well, right. So for the Rambam, what do you mean? This is like his whole theology of the world, that non-smart people are created to serve the smart people. That's what the Rambam says. The whole reason that non-people who can't reach intellectual perfection exist is to serve... I don't know, right? In the footnote, that's what they quote. That, yeah, that's how the Rambam understands this. Others say no, right? It's not because he thought it was the most perfected human being ever. Rather, it was, that's what a good guest is like. He's like, look, I'm a guest in this world, and I show appreciation. That's what it is, right? It's not that I am the most perfected. It's that even if, right, I'm a guest, and people... are also cooking for their family, still, the attitude you're supposed to have when you're a guest is, which this is what Marafolda says. He says, please, don't make this too much. It's not that he actually thinks the whole world is created for him. It's just that the amount of gratitude you have, right? You don't go to someone's house as a guest and say, oh, thank you for the nice Shabbos meal. And they say to you, oh, don't worry, I cooked it for my family. I did nothing different for you. You were just an extra body at the table, right? No one says that. Right, and you don't say, "No, thank you for inviting me," because I know that you don't have to cook extra because you have seven kids and you already made it.
I find it really hard to be appreciative of this.
Yeah, right. You don't do that. So now, and what's the support for that? The next line is V'chenai ben Zoma Omer Oreach Rama Omer, because he says, "Well, what does a bad guest say?" Exactly what I just said. Because if you were a bad guest, you would say, oh, what did I eat anyways? I had a piece of bread, and he was cooking for his family anyways. I'm all reach tov, Omer. What does a good guest say? Baruch balabayit, zachor balabayit, letova, kama yayin evi levanai, kama chatichon evi levanai, kama tarach tarach levanai. Whoa, he brought me so much meat and so much wine. Kol ma shetarach letarach, but he did it for me. Right, so the big question is the first line connected to the second one? For the Mara Fulda, this is an elaboration of the first half, which is, what is the perspective a good guest has for the Rambam, the first one is saying his whole theology of the universe. And then he says something about guests. Okay. Whew. Next Mishnah. Al hazikim, on comets, val hazvaot, on earthquakes, which is, of course, very relevant, as we've had so many in the last few days in this region, including, I know there's one in Yerushalayim, though, yesterday. Not a big one, 3.8. Vala brakim, vala ra'amim, vala ruchot, lightning, thunder, hurricanes, right, great winds. Omer, baruch shekocho male olam. You say, God's power fills the world, or shekocho gvurato male olam, which is our yourself. Yes, yes, there's a machloket for everything. Yes, we can go through each one. Each one has a machloket. Yes, it does. What? Yeah. Right, some say zvaot is that's it, like a hurricane or a tropical storm, right? The strong winds, and it's not an earthquake, and ruchot is a different type of wind. Al ha'arim, on big mountains, val ha'gvaot, val ha'yamim, and waters, val ha'neharot, and rivers, val ha'midbarot, and deserts. Hu omer baruch oseh bereshit. You say, oseh bereshit. Why? Because it is a praise of God that you recognize what he created at the beginning of the world. Now the Bavli, right, has different, right, there are all types of very important halachic things, but we're already at 26 minutes, so unfortunately we're going to go through it, but know that there are major machlokot in each of these lines. Barak. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Roed Yamagadol, if you see a Yamagadol, and there's a very famous machloket about this, which I think that Rabbi Wasserman gave Sharon to you last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago already. What's the machlok Yamagadol? Oh, right. So you tell me. What's the machlok Yamagadol? Is it the Mediterranean or the ocean? Or the ocean. Right? This is right. That's a... Right? Because the point is this a formal thing? Like the great body of water? So the Rush says it is that even though normally Yamagadol, like in Halach and Torah means Mediterranean, here it means the ocean, because it's about what impresses you. And the Mediterranean is impressive, but it's not the ocean. Shulchan Aruch, though, paskins that it is the Mediterranean, but some of the Achronim say that it's both. Right? Even according to the Rush, it's both. Bizman Jorel Frakim, only if he sees it every so often. Alek Shamim Valbisaro Tovod, who Omer Baruch HaTov Emetiv, on good news or rain, you say Atova Mitiv, and the Bavli clarifies this is only a good, according to the Bavli, this is only a good that you experience and other people experience, but not just a good for you. And that is how we paskin lahalacha, so it has to be, and therefore rain is the type of thing that we all benefit from. Val Shmuat Ra'od, and in bad news, you say Omer Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. Tani Bar Kapara. Matri in al hazvaot. When you have this zvaot, right, again, whether it's an earthquake or a hurricane, what do? You blow shofar because it's bad, right? Look out how much Israel's already panicking. Just because there were big earthquakes in Turkey and then there's a minor one here, everyone's sending out, right, the warnings, right? That's what it is, right? The second happens, it is time to warn, to pray. And as we've talked about in the past, even according to the Ramban, that there's not a mitzvah to daven every day. There is a mitzvah to daven. Beitzar, and according to the Rambam, Moses says mitzvah daven every day. There's a separate mitzvah, daven beitzar, which he quotes in Hilchot Taniyot, right? So this is very important. Shmuel Amar, Ein, in Avar, Ein Zika, Bixil, Machriv, Ed Ha'olam. If, in fact, the comet would pass through this group of stars, right, through Orion, then it would end the world. Machriv, Ed Ha'olam.
Mine says Pleiades.
Yeah, so I have Orion or Pleiades. Okay, fine. And other people say it's Canopus. Don't ask me. I don't understand it at all. And this is not true. I mean, yes, if a comet hit Earth, we would die. We understand that. That's why they made a movie about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Don't look up. Yeah, I watched it recently. It was
I watched it with Gano and Han. Han left halfway through, and Gano and I just, like, made fun of the movie for the rest
of
the
time. It's a movie that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Is this like Kisla and the Bavli and I think
of the Zohar? Sure. Metiv and Lishmo van Chamin Avar. He says, but we've seen it pass through and we're all alive. Amar Lay, Lit Efshar. No, it never happened. Ola Elmine, Ola Ramine. What you saw was that it was either a little bit above or a little bit below the constellation. Shmuel Omar. And how do I know? Because Chalkam and we have this in the Bavli as well. He says, I am as an expert in the paths of heaven, Gishkog Naharda Karti, as I am of the paths of Naharda, my home city. Going back to what we talked about last week of how expert Chazal were in certain sciences. So he says, yeah, I'm as expert in this as I am in my hometown. I know these skies. Barmenin Zika lit on a yademaut. Except for this one thing, but I just don't understand this particular comment. Bichishmol olo l'shamayim? What? Did Shmuel go up to heaven, walk around? El al shem yizaber shchakim bichochmam.
So he wasn't
a right? He praises God for teaching him, right? He learned. He learned science. Other people say he got it from Misora. Eliyahu Zachar Latov Shalor Narai. Eliyahu once asked Rabbi Noram, Ibnei Mabon Zvat La'olam, why do these earthquakes happen? Amar Leh Bavon Truma to Maisrot. Because people don't give Truma and Maiser. Because one buzzard says God always pays attention to Eretz. The God looks at the land and it shakes. Which implies that God doesn't always look, because every time he looks, there's an earthquake. So what is it? Does God always look, or does he not look so often because the world isn't always in earthquakes? It's very simple. If the Jews give Maaser, then God can give his Ashkacha to the world, and there won't be earthquakes. But if, God forbid, the Jews don't give Truma and Maaser, and then God looks at the world, well, good luck to all of you. Then there are going to be earthquakes. Okay, we're going to stop there because we're already at 30 minutes.